I'm Dream Queen. You're in the cab with me. Thanks so much for rolling. Last week, we went ahead and read The Coming of the Ship, and that was the first chapter of The Prophet, and we did a little bit more, I would say, history lesson, a little English class, trying to break down the meanings of some of the words and who some of these characters were inspired by, who Khalil Gibran was, etc., etc. So, last week, we met al-Mustafa, the prophet, the chosen one. He saw his ship on the horizon, and he knew that it was time for him to leave this land at which he was an immigrant. The people came out to meet him and to profess their so far unprofessed love to him. So the people came down to the water, and he was met also by a priestess or a seeress named Almitra, who was the first to welcome al-Mustafa to Orphalese. I did a little research last night and tried to find the proper pronunciation and origins of the name Almitra. The name is of Persian origin, and it means peace or harmony. So, chapter 2. Then Almitra said, "Speak to us of love." And he raised his head and looked upon the people, and there fell a stillness upon them. And with a great voice he said, "When love beckons you, follow him, though his ways are hard and steep. And when his wings enfold you, yield to him, though the sword hidden among his pinions may wound you. And when he speaks to you, believe in him, though his voice may shatter your dreams as the north wind lays waste the garden. For even as love crowns you, so shall he crucify you. Even as he is for your growth, so is he for your pruning. Even as he ascends to your heights and caresses your tenderest branches that quiver in the sun, so shall he descend to your roots and shake them in their clinging to the earth. Like sheaves of corn, he gathers you unto himself. He threshes you to make you naked. He sifts you to free you from your husks. He grinds you to whiteness. He kneads you until you are pliant. And then he assigns you to his sacred fire, that you may become sacred bread for God's sacred feast. All these things shall love do unto you, that you may know the secrets of your heart, and in that knowledge become a fragment of life's heart. But if in your fear you would seek only love's peace and love's pleasure, then it is better for you to cover your nakedness and pass out of love's threshing floor into the seasonless world, where you shall laugh, but not all of your laughter, and weep, but not all of your tears. Love gives not but itself, and takes not but from itself. Love possesses not, nor would it be possessed. For love is sufficient unto love. When you love, you should not say, God is in my heart, but rather, I am in the heart of God. And think not you can direct the course of love. For love, if it finds you worthy, directs your course. Love has no other desire but to fulfill itself. But if you love and must needs have desires. Let these be your desires. To melt and be like a running brook that sings its melody to the night. To know the pain of too much tenderness. To be wounded by your own understanding of love, and to bleed willingly and joyfully. To wake at dawn with a winged heart and give thanks for another day of loving. To rest at noon hour and meditate love's ecstasy. To return home at eventide with gratitude. And then to sleep with a prayer for the beloved in your heart and a song of praise upon your lips. Khalil Gibran, the prophet, on love. How many of y'all got your copies? I hope you got your copies on the internet. It's out there for free. You just download it because it's in public domain now. I got a lot of highlights and underlines and squiggles and notes on mine. So if you have your copy, or if you're reading along on the internet or in your personal book or in printed out sheets like I have here, I'm doing all three. Just take a moment and have a breath on that. The radio is not really a great place to take long pauses. As y'all know, the book club, you may or may not know, I don't know. The book club started with All About Love, New Visions from Bell Hooks. And my friend who introduced that, I don't know that she knew she was opening a can of worms. And here we are a year into the In the Cab book club. And when we're on our third book, right? I'm not counting the Bible, even though we refer to it a lot during the Martin Luther King segment. I'm not choosing these ahead of time. I didn't come out and say I'm going to do a book series on love. It just happened. And each book that's presented to me as being viable for the next, you know, series, all seem to have to do with this. And I think that's the message, especially in the times that we live in right now. It is my belief that personal growth, self-awareness, and a love ethic are things that are baseline for each human to cover to the next step of evolution if we're going to survive on this planet. And I know I'm not alone in that belief. It's not a religious belief. It might be a spiritual belief. It seems to me it's common sense and science. If we can't get along and we live in hate and war, then we're just going to blow everything up and then we won't be here no more. And neither will all of the other critters. If, you know, the earth as a crust will survive and continue to develop, even if we nuke the whole place. And I say we because it is we. I've been recently telling people that I don't really want to say we because I'm not on board with war and nuclear aggression and all of these things. However, it's coming to me that we are all susceptible to the temptation of revenge and violence and jealousy and anger and rage. And we have to temper these things. Even if my hand isn't on hovering over the button, I have to hold a vibration of gratitude and love. And that's what I came away with from this piece. I have a couple of notes here I'd just like to share with you off the cuff. And I brought All About Love, New Visions in the studio with me, because I want to go back to that. There are a couple of excerpts from there that I want to go back to and read. And hopefully I will have some help getting the All About Love book club interviews and conversations up on YouTube. Right now you can find them on Mixcloud, In the Cab Radio at Mixcloud. And you can go back and just listen to all my friends and DJs here that sat in and we discussed All About Love. And I'm working on getting that on the podcast format. This is my editing that needs to happen. But it's really valuable stuff. To practice a love ethic can be a painful process at first. To feel so deeply compassion in a harsh world where there are real villains. I feel like the last part of this poem is about acceptance of the pain and transmuting it into gratitude, joy, ecstasy, all of that divine ecstasy, surpassing joy, surpassing happiness. It's like a oneness emerging. And you don't always get there just from having good feelings. You don't get there from having good feelings. You get there from passing through discomfort. And I want to break apart some of the pieces of this poem. Let's go back all the way to the very beginning when Gibran says, "When love beckons to you, follow him. Though his ways are hard and steep, with his wing, and when his wings enfold you, yield to him. Though the sword hidden among his pinions may wound you. And when he speaks to you, believe in him." I believe that that goes towards what we have been reading with Dr. King, especially God is love. And Gibran was a devout person who studied many different types of spirituality and psychology. And I believe that he is referring to love in the divine sense. I came upon some information wanting to find a little bit of background on this piece. And to be honest, I didn't know what the word pinion is. Pinions? Like, I was like, is he talking about a gear, like in a car? Right? I know he's not talking about pinion nuts, right? What's he talking about? Well, I read the definition, and it's a part of a bird's wing. The sword hidden among his pinions may wound you. You know, after I did that, I went to images because I wanted to look at what the pinion, cannot say pinion. New Mexico, what up? The pinions, I wanted to see what they look like, right? I met a falcon this week too, you guys. His name was Magnus. It is Magnus. Bad looking bird, man. I mean, like bad, like in like 1970s, bad. Like that bird was cool. You know, he was cool. And he was working his wings in front of me, and he's molting right now. And I learned quite a bit just in the 15 minutes of talking to his handler. So much about freedom and flight and majesty and choice and becoming one with nature. About information. I didn't get any pictures, but I'm going to, and I hope to have Magnus's handler on the show one day. He's going to start his training again soon, and I'd like to get out there and get some footage for the road project and talk about this, because when I was talking to her and listening to her, I realized that working with a falcon is a lot like me working through personal intimate relationships. Putting that into context was very interesting to me. But I digress. It's all about the bird. And so in the images, I saw the wings. And I also saw some memes from some super Christian Facebook posts. And last week, or 2 weeks ago, my guest was Wendy Young. And we talked about religious fundamentalism and patriotism, and we're gonna solve it. We all know that religion is a topic on this show, and reconciling our neighbors who are white supremacists, Christian nationalists, and how we can surpass our differences and live in peace. So in Psalm 91, and we like the Psalms, you know, some of them. Most of them are pretty cool, right? Some poems to God, some songs. And the thing that that came up was 91:4. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. And we learned a couple weeks ago that Khalil Gibran was raised Christian and spent the early part of his life in an Islamic country. And like I just said, he studied a lot of religions and philosophies. So I know that he must have drawn from the Psalms in his work. And I find it really fun that he's basically grabbing this and in Psalm 91:4, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will seek refuge. And then Gibran is like, and when his wings enfold you, yield to him, though the sword hidden among his pinions may wound you. And I thought, man, that's deep. He took the Bible verse and flipped it. But he made it say the same thing. Love hurts and is sneaky. We are caught unawares in our moments of trust and vulnerability. Then we have to lean into it. We have to lean into it and see why we're being wounded. Look at the reasons why. And he goes on with this analogy of love and God, with the north wind lays waste to the garden. We're the garden, y'all. And the spirit is the north wind. It's a natural force we can't control. Can't control what lays waste around us, because life is change. And as love crowns, so shall he crucify. And that's why we don't want to trust. It's hard to trust things that vacillate or seem to vacillate so far in one direction and then the other. But when we realize that this is all so that we can become, as Wendy Young and I talked about, so that we can become the kingdom, then it makes, well, it doesn't make anything easier. Doesn't make anything easier. And it barely makes sense. But I think that's why we're all drawn to each other. When you feel like you have a purpose, that, oh, I went through this thing to learn this thing so that I could accomplish something. So what are we to accomplish? Gibran says, so that we may know the secret of our own hearts and become a fragment of life's heart. Life has a heart. Everything's dead. Everything's numb. It's just a bunch of anthropomorphizing fables and mistruths. Or is love's heart the currency that flows between all of us? I'm just asking. Doesn't necessarily have to look like a piece of meat. It is a vibe. This portion where Gibran says, when you love, you should not say, God is in my heart, but rather, I am in the heart of God. And that's the idea, that we are the vibe. We are the vibe. You can't contain the unifying force between us all. You can only vibe with it. You can only be a part of it. Love has no desire but to fulfill itself. So when we love, we must lose our ego. We must lose our ego, steel ourselves against the pain, and accept it. For love is sufficient unto love. It has no other purpose. Just do your part. It's not about what you get back. Just do your part. Do not look to where you pour your love to receive it from the same source. It's just a piece of advice. Save you a little bit of heartache. When you do anything in life for anyone at any time, you do it because that is what you feel called to do in the name of the vibe. If you look to get it back, you're going to be disappointed. Maybe not every time, but the times that you are disappointed, it will devastate you. And we can't afford any more devastation. We can take the prick of a sword, but we don't have time to go down because of false expectations. Y'all have been such good sports. I know that religion is not an easy topic for many, and I try to take my time with it. It's talking about the things that are uncomfortable that will get us through, and I appreciate you because I believe there's nuggets in these eternal wisdoms that can serve us today. When put into practical application, the good stuff, that's what we want. Nothing wrong with keeping the good stuff. So I'm going to refer to All About Love, New Visions from Bell Hooks. Page 94 is a chapter called Values, Living by a Love Ethic. I've said it before here on this show, and I'll say it again. It's my own personal little thorn. It feels silly talking about love all the time. It really does. Everybody who knows me, especially people who've been very close to me, I'm giving out my best 2 hours every week here on this show. I am not presenting myself as being a master of any of these topics. I'm being vulnerable with y'all, and I'm hoping we can go on this journey together. I'm learning so much hanging out with y'all. And when you see me out, or if you know how to get in touch, in the cab, radio, on socials, and at Gmail, I'm not fishing for compliments, but I am saying that every person that I interact with that tells me that they resonate with what's going on here on the show, it makes my life a little easier. Because we live in this tough American society that is about capitalism, is about stiff upper lip, because our English cousins taught us this whole deal. You steel yourself against your feelings and you become hard, and then you just produce until you die. And our families suffer, our souls suffer, ourselves, our minds, our physical health, our pets. When we stay behind the wall too long and just don't step outside of that construct of production and competition. And in this chapter, Values, Living by a Love Ethic, on page 94, Bell Hooks quotes Cornel West. Philosopher Cornel West states that, quote, A politics of conversion, in quotes, restores our sense of hope. Calling attention to the pervasive nihilism in our society, he reminds us, quote, nihilism is not overcome by arguments or analysis. It is tamed by love and care. Any disease of the soul must be conquered by a turning of one's soul. This turning is done through one's own affirmation of one's worth, an affirmation fueled by the concern of others. End quote. In an attempt to ward off life's threatening despair, more and more individuals are turning toward a love ethic. Skipping ahead a bit to the next paragraph, Hooks says, embracing a love ethic means that we utilize all the dimensions of love: care, commitment, trust, responsibility, respect, and knowledge. That's a lot to remember. I had to highlight this in bright pink, dog ear the page, and put a bookmark there. I'm like, what are those again? What are we doing? What are we doing, Mel? What are we doing? Right. Look, I turned the page and I gotta go back. Care, commitment, trust, responsibility, respect, and knowledge. And I took a note on that. Many of us find ourselves in situations where the energy exchange isn't exactly on the same frequency, put it that way. And it's like, how do we manage when it's not an equal exchange? We got to show up how we can show up. Sometimes it's not showing up and politely declining to engage. But I'm talking about just like your everyday thing where something is not extreme. I'm not in a face of a white supremacist. I'm just trying to just go through maybe a minor disagreement at work, you know, or minor conflict with the homie and feel like you're not being heard and it's escalating a little bit. How do you show up with these qualities when you feel like you're not being met with them? First, I took a note that I can turn these things on myself first and foremost. I must practice this self-love first. That's the thing about All About Love and leaders like Dr. King and a lot of these psalms that are in the Bible. It's like it's a lot of people in their own moments of darkness by themselves that are learning to be okay with themselves. And that's that relationship with spirit, where every revolution comes along with, we know, and I thought I was going to get into the poem about marriage, but I don't think we're going to get there today. We're going to have to come back to marriage. I'll give you a little sneak peek, though. It's about being together and apart and being reminded that we do ultimately, even though we're each connected, we do exist in an individual consciousness, right? So when we're dealing with turmoil, we gotta make sure that we've nourished ourselves, because we're not gonna get what we need from outside all the time, right? So when I practice care of myself, then that prepares me to know that I deserve care and can be open to receiving care from others, and that I'm equipped to give a certain amount of care out because I have care inside me. It's in my cup. And if I've done my job, my cup is full and I can give some out. Commitment. In the commitment chapter of All About Love, I think a couple of us were surprised because it was about a commitment to self-love, a commitment to a love ethic. Trust. We have to trust that things are going to be good. If I wake up every day, and I'm talking about the self-love part, if I wake up every day and I don't trust that I'm going to make it through the day, then what's the point? I've stopped myself before I've got going. And so there's a certain amount of trust that my life means something and is worth something, and I can walk out the door and show up, right? Responsibility. I have a responsibility to myself and to my mental health and to my personal development. I respect myself. I respect myself enough not to lose it and lose my footing, to honor the commitments that I've made to myself. I respect myself and knowledge. Hooks says that knowledge as an essential element of love is vital because we are daily bombarded with messages that tell us love is about mystery, about that which cannot be known. Knowledge, to continually learn, to continually observe what's happening in my body, what's happening in my mind, what I know of the person or situation I'm engaging in. That knowledge, when we put it into practice, helps us show up with the appropriate tools. If I'm a painter and I know that I'm working with an oil as opposed to a water-based paint today, I'm going to show up with the tools that I need to make my job working with oil a little easier. China bristle brush, my mineral spirits. And I'm going to take that to my water-based painting job. So I don't need to come at the water-based paint with the harshness of the mineral spirits. The oil-based paints, that mineral spirits isn't harsh to them. They loosen up around it. It helps it move. You see what I'm saying? When you know what you're dealing with, you can show up appropriately. And so when we deal with ourselves, say, man, I know that I went through this in life and I'm reacting this way because of this. All right, I'm going to switch my frequency a little bit, dial it a little bit this way. And so when we're looking at the other person, like, man, I know that person is going through XYZ, so I'm going to switch my frequency a little bit. Or I don't know anything about that person, so I'm going to switch my frequency because I have no idea. It seems like a lot to juggle, but I think it's a practice. It's a practice. And it's a struggle when we think we can practice alone. Even when you got the flute and your music teacher is like, take this home and practice with your music. Yes. But you still have to show this work to someone. You still have to get the lesson, right? Nobody learns in a vacuum. And so when we're flexible and we realize that grace and vulnerability and forgiveness, all these tools are here in All About Love. I don't know how I got from Khalil Gibran to bell hooks. I do know, actually. Y'all know. It's on tape. It'll be here. So why? What is love? And we're just going to cover this right back at the beginning. Not only is love God, but you can say the currency between us, not cash. Even though we live in capitalism, see, they use the words. One word means five different things. So I got currency for cash flow. and I got a currency for energy flow. Okay. We got a love vibration. What is love? The will to extend one's self for the purpose of nurturing one's own or another's spiritual growth. And if we commit to that, we can make the world a better place. All we have to do is be willing. It's a choice. You choose to stay tuned in to this radio station, even when I get all woo-woo. You choose to listen. You choose to show up. You choose. And that's a beautiful thing. I think that we're all working towards a better world and we're showing up the best we can. So before I close, there, I want to talk about the last sort of fifth of this poem, quarter or so, just real quick. Khalil Gibran on love. To melt and be like a running brook that sings its melody to the night. I'm going to back up a second and go back into philosophy and the Tao. The gem of being like water, to go with the flow of things, and to lose the ego. Gibran says, if you love and must needs have desires, then let these be your desires. This is his advice. To melt, to lose your ego, to melt and be like a running brook, water, a running brook, not the ocean, which we've picked apart in last week's opening, not the vast, deep, mysterious ocean, but a shallow brook that flows, trickles around rocks and branches, is manipulated by otters and, you know, little kids and their toes. Just a brook that sings its melody to the night. It sings. Art, creativity, to become the music of life. People go to the forest and sit by a brook to find peace. The song of nature. To be like that. Sing your song to the night. Now, I just painted, again, a sunny, sun-dappled afternoon is what I think about. But I have to be reminded that we need the most comfort in the night. Dr. King's book that we just read, A Knock at Midnight, when things are darkest, that sermon, it's about people who knock on your door in the night. To know the pain of too much tenderness. That's a blessing to feel. It's a blessing. We are all running up under the boot of people who can't feel. We are all, those of us who suffer in poverty, illness, loneliness, prisons, war, bombardment. It's because we can't find care in the greater society that is run by people who don't know how to be tender, except maybe for their own children. Maybe. I don't even know. Okay? I don't live in certain politicians' houses. I don't know where they show tenderness. Let this be your desire, to be wounded by your own understanding of love. Wear that with pride. Except you've thrown away your ego, so you don't have the pride. And to bleed willingly and joyfully. That's the thing. Not pride. Just joy. I love so much. And it takes a process. But everything is made better with gratitude. To be grateful for the pain. When we meditate on love's ecstasy, we can find the purpose and the meaning of it. I really appreciate all of you for being here for our journey through evolution and exploration of a love ethic. In the Cab Radio, on all the platforms, reach out, check us out. If you have any questions, shoot me a note at Gmail. Thanks so much for listening.